It's a pleasure to gather together in this way this morning. It's a service I always look forward to, and I trust all can be inspired by it. I was impressed with the first clause of the second song. What a wonderful Savior who would die on the cross for me. That talks about relationship. Jesus said earlier in the scriptures, earlier in his life, that greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's relationship. You don't die for somebody unless you believe in them, unless you love them. My message this morning, but by way of introduction, as Jesus faced crucifixion and the events leading up to it, we oftentimes think a lot about all the physical pain that he experienced. But I think, at least at some stages in the journey, the greater pain was an emotional pain. And that's what I'm focusing on this morning. My message title this morning is Watch with Jesus. And by way of introduction, which really is the first point of the message this morning, we're turning to John chapter 6. This is the passage that I titled Jesus Running with Jewish Leaders. And he is here, would you say, giving his explanation, his defense of who he is and his purpose on earth. We're going to jump into verse 30. No, I wrote it down wrong. It's John 6. We're going to break in Actually, let's start with verse 29. The question comes in verse 28. What should we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29 now is Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. I'm going to cease reading there at verse 59. We have introduction. By way of introduction, Jesus gives it himself. And I'm not going to elaborate a lot on this because I cannot perfect what Jesus already said. But I'm going to call special attention to a couple of the points that he brought out. He said, look to me, is essentially what his message was. Look to me. Watch me. He says, taste me. Partake of what I am. And as he was saying that, there were a bunch of people around him that were totally missing the message. Jesus was trying to share a spiritual message. He was sharing a spiritual message that if they would have looked at him and said, he's telling us the way to live our lives. But instead, they blindly said, there's nothing to this. We see Jesus. He's a human. He's 33 years old. There's a lot of other humans around like this. His father's Joseph. Mary's his mother. They saw the wrong thing. They were totally blinded to what Jesus was sharing with them. Jesus talked about the bread, about him being the bread, and his blood being the wine. There are many that today would believe that as you partake of the bread that was made by our deacon's wife, that you are eating of the flesh of Jesus. I believe it's a symbol that it reminds us of the flesh of Jesus and what he did for us. And I want us to see beyond the bread this morning to the bread of life. Let's watch for Jesus as we go through this message. Okay, now we're going to turn to the events of Jesus' life leading up to the crucifixion. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. At this point in the message, I have entitled Watching with Jesus in the Garden. And in the garden, the journey of emotionalism stands out the most here, probably more than in all of his journey. Jesus in the garden. We're going to read Mark 14, verses 26 to 50. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out again, as against a thief, with swords and with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all, as his disciples, forsook him and fled. Okay, so Jesus comes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked someone to watch. Who did he ask to watch? It was Peter, James, and John. The 11 disciples had come out to the garden. 8 of them stayed at more of a distance. 3 of them went on with Jesus. And Jesus said, my soul is very vexed. I'm in anguish. Watch with me. Watch with me. And so he went on and spent his time in prayer. What did the disciples do? The three there? They slept. We have record that 3 times Jesus came from praying back to where the disciples were, and they were sleeping. My question is, had they been watching, what would they have seen? I believe they would have seen their dear friend Jesus in the greatest need of their support ever. And they neglected the opportunity. They rested because they were tired. Watching with Jesus. Here Jesus was near the beginning of his journey to death. He had told them ahead of time what was going to happen. But from the very outstart, after they had just hours before vehemently promised that we will be with you the whole way, they didn't take their time to pray with him. They slept. I can only imagine the anguish that Jesus was fighting with. And to realize that his disciples weren't, their hearts weren't beating with what was with him enough to stay by him, to support him in this time. Okay, we're going to progress in our reading here, watching with Jesus in trial. We're going to, same chapter, Mark 14, we're going to read verses 53 to 72. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. Watching with Jesus in trial. So who are the watchers? We have several here. First one I want to call attention to is the disciples. What did the disciples do? Verse 52. And 50 to 52. Verse 50 says, they all forsook him and fled. They ran. When they saw danger, when they saw that Jesus was going to be captured, they ran. Verse 54, some followed him from a distance. Some of them, after they ran from the multitude and got a distance between them, turned around and just kind of followed along at a distance, trying not to be noticeable. Again, thinking about the disciples who Jesus had asked to watch with him. Peter, verses 68, 70, and 71, denied Jesus. He said, "I don't know that man." It happened three times. And each time he got more aggressive about it, until the last time he was cursing and swearing, saying, "I don't know that man." The disciples that were to be watching, what were they doing? They were grieving themselves over the loss of their leader. I believe they were reeling in grief as they realized what was happening, what was about to unfold. That Jesus was captured, and this trial was not going good at all. It was totally a mock trial, but everybody there was shouting to get rid of him. Another people that were watching was the Jewish people in general. What did they do? Verse 64, they blindly ordered his death. They said, "He's guilty of death. Get rid of him." And I say the Jewish people in general, we have to remember, this was a nighttime trial. So it was probably mostly people that were party to getting rid of Jesus that were there. What else did they do? Verse 65. They hit him. They took their hands and just hit him. They spit on him. They blindfolded him and mocked him. And my thoughts go to, how did that make Jesus feel emotionally? The message was clear. You're dirt. You're a nuisance. Let's do away with him. My question is, what could they have seen? They could have seen the perfect Son of God receiving the utmost of injustice. Jesus had asked them to watch. This is what they were supposed to be seeing. But they didn't. Let's proceed on. Jump into Mark 15, verse 22. This section I've titled, "Watching with Jesus at the Cross." Mark 15, 22 to 39. "And they bring him unto the place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they give him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests mocking among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. Watching with Jesus at the cross. Who were the watchers? There were a lot of people watching. The first I'm going to note is Jesus' friends and followers. What did they see? They saw a suffering leader and friend. It has sunk into their hearts that their dear Jesus is in real trouble. They were realizing that this was going to end. To them, it still looked like defeat. But we'll touch on that a little bit more later. Who were the watchers? There were many of the Jewish people that saw. It says there were people walking past, and there were people that came to see. And as we look at verses 29 to 30 and their response of mockery, they were seeing a would-be famous individual facing his doom. Putting it in today's term, they were seeing a politician who didn't keep his promises facing the results of it. Jesus was not a politician, but I didn't know what else to compare to there. Then there was, of course, Roman soldiers who were doing this work of crucifixion. What did they see? So they look at verses 24, 25, 28. For the most part, they just saw another criminal statistic. This is person number 3 for today and person number whatever for the week. It was just another crucifixion. What was Jesus feeling like? He was just another statistic, another number. They had stripped him of his humanity with all their abuse and mockery. But there was at least one Roman soldier in verse 39 that observed that Jesus gave his own life. And he said, Truly, this was the Son of God. So my question is, what could these people have seen? They could have seen the Lamb of God who gave his body broken and his blood to provide forgiveness for their sins and our sins. When Jesus said, Watch, that's what he wanted them to see. The Lamb of God giving himself for the sins of the world. Turn with me to Mark 13. I'm going to read verses 32 to 37. Mark 13, verse 32. This is Jesus talking before this occurrence, before he was actually facing his death experience. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Okay, let me back up a little bit. He was just telling them a bunch of future events. And he concludes by saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So in the future, things are really going to be shaken up. It's not going to stay the same as it is now. So verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So this was Jesus preparing his disciples for what he was, not only what he was going to go through, but for after he was gone in his bodily form, after he was gone and ascended back to heaven. And he says here repeatedly, watch. So this part I've entitled Watching for Jesus in Life. So Jesus is here asking them to watch for his return and to live such that they are prepared at any time for it. You're supposed to watch. This morning we're commemorating Jesus on the cross. As we go through life, through the week, we're supposed to remember Jesus coming back from glory. And what's happening? Many are claiming to watch, but their eyes are closed. They are fast asleep. And I can't help but take that back to the garden. You know, I think there's many times when Jesus comes back in some way, shape, or form, his spirit, and wakes these people up. But what do? Many of them go back to sleep again. And you know, there are many that are beating on Jesus. And when I say beating on Jesus, I'm talking about many that profess to be Christians. We're followers of Jesus. And yet, they're not doing what he's asking for. They're not watching. They're not looking for Jesus to come back. They're looking for how to make my day a happier day for me. They're beating on Jesus. They're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. And they're following themselves. When people look on, it brings a distaste in their mouth for what these people profess. I'm going to read one more verse. And I've titled this, Watching Jesus in Eternity. And here from Mark, there's other scriptures bring it out more clearly, but I'm not going to take the time to turn right now. For those watching for the return of Jesus, eternity will be filled with an awestruck admiration and watching of Jesus and God the Father. The ones that are diligent in watching in life are the ones that will have the privilege, the awesome privilege, of watching God and Jesus in eternity. Mark 14:25 brings out another thing we're going to be doing up there. This is Jesus. After the communion experience, he says, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Imagine that. One day, will take this experience and anybody who has been watching and is prepared will be taking of the communion table with Jesus in eternity. It won't be then a congregation by congregation basis. Then all Christians will be united around Jesus. Everyone who's been following Jesus will be united around Jesus and will partake of it together. So I want to let with us this challenge as we go through this service. In the service, let's be watching Jesus on the cross. And as we go from here, let's be watching for the return of Jesus. May God bless you as we partake.